Christine here. In times of lockdown, you need help from friends. And I want to introduce you to my oldest friend. We were in prams together because our parents were friends. We went to Sunday school together. We'd even arranged that we were going to do an interview and talk together about what we did in Sunday schools for Good Friday and the annual anniversary celebrations, Harvest Supper, all agreed. And then last March, everything sort of stopped. I say she was my oldest friend. We went to junior school together and then went off to our different secondary college and then found ourselves back in Littleborough, both of us teaching at the same school. We went to the same choir in Todmorden. We have the same love of gardens. For art, it's very different. I like glass and metal work, whereas Rini is an extremely good potter and designs all sorts of things like tables or clocks out of pottery. Very, very unusual creative articles. Now, another thing that we differ on, and we really do differ about this, Rini has never done anything outdoor. For example, I always used to walk, ski, cycle, run. All those sort of activities. You wouldn't get Rini skiing, you won't get Rini on a sledge, you won't get Rini on a cycle. She doesn't like swimming, and I could go on. Still friends. But something is different for her holidays because she used to do some very unusual things and go to some extremely unusual places. She slept in sometimes harsh conditions, and I think she's going to tell you about some of these extraordinary things that that she used to do. This is a lockdown tale because I can't interview her. I can't ask the probing questions as I like to think I can ask, but I can't do that. She's just helping us out. And the first one of her talks, I think, is about going to Morocco in North Africa. And just on your behalf, I want to thank her for helping out the talking newspaper of Todmorden during these difficult times. Thank you, Rini.
Hello there. My name's Rini Cryer, and Christine asked me to talk about some of the travels that I've done. I've been very lucky in being able to travel to many places in the world, and really there aren't all that many people from Littleborough and Todmorden that have been as far as the Sahara Desert, so here goes. I've known Christine since we were children because our parents were friends and we had connections to Greenhill Chapel and the Sunday School and the Youth Club, and we've sort of stayed friends throughout. We went to the same primary school, different grammar schools, and both went to college to train to be teachers. I did intend teaching primary school children, but because I did well in my subject, I was asked if I'd teach in secondary school. And even when I moved to middle school, I was given really the older ones to teach, not the younger ones that I thought I might be able to have. During school holidays, it gave me time to travel to all sorts of places. And today I'm going to mention about a couple of the mini-trek holidays that I did. On the mini-trek holidays, there was a small group of people who travelled around in a Land Rover that was driven by a public school boy with lots of confidence and the ability to speak the language of the country that we were in, which was very useful. I remember it being quite an uncomfortable way to travel because there were six of us in the back and our knees were more or less touching each other. In fact, we had to sort of take it in turns to move one leg and say to somebody opposite, if I move my leg there, can you move your leg here? I mean, it was so uncomfortable. And I don't remember there being air conditioning in the 60s in these vehicles, so it was very hot as well. The first mini trek that I went on was to Morocco. And we were met, as I say, to be picked up in a Land Rover. And we went down the country through fairs and Marrakesh. And this was, for me, quite a rough holiday in so much as I'm not used to camping like Christine. And we're travelling with all our possessions on the top of the Land Rover. So there was only room for your sleeping bag and the rucksack that had a change of clothing in and this sort of thing. But it was an amazing country because it was absolutely different to what I'd been used to here. The buildings, when there were any, were built usually in some sort of stone, covered in, I assume, clay, because almost all the houses and everything were painted white because that would reflect the sun, make it easier for them. At the side of the road, we saw people selling all sorts of different things, and I'd never sort of seen things like hens being tethered up and boxfuls of eggs there and things being transported by donkey. And on the road down from where we started off into where the towns were, the road was pretty well covered in sand, even, you know, quite high up in Morocco. I suppose it just blows about all over the place. And if we stopped anywhere, you could bet your bottom dollar that somebody would come out to try and sell you something or talk to you in some way. The little dwellings that we saw were also, I must say, covered in hay at the top. Now, some of them were covered in hay on top of branches. Some of them, when we got to towns and were looking at marketplaces, they often use corrugated iron but covered with hay on the top, just to make it a bit easier. When we saw children, the youngsters were in European-type clothing. I should say that would probably be up to about puberty, because then it was on all long flowing gowns, both for men and the older girls. And majority of the things were in white or blue. As I say, most of the houses and buildings were painted white. They were often built very close together so that there were alleyways in between that would, again, at some point in the day, shield you from the sun. And we noticed that an awful lot of young boys were seemingly apprenticed to older people, because we'd see them working on, for instance, decorating tin plates and trays and so on at a very early age. And I don't know whether this was because they were off school or because they didn't get much education. Hard to tell. And when we saw a market, I'd never before seen people sitting on the floor with the food that they were selling all around them. They used the baskets to sit on, the woven things, and then they were selling. And it was lovely when we did actually come across the odd oasis where there was a river somewhere near and a stream running through the village, and you could actually get out of the Land Rover and wash your feet and feel a bit cooler. And we were very lucky because on all these occasions in Morocco, there are Roman remains that, you know, we can go and visit, as well as seeing all the sites that you don't normally see in Tadmaden. You see lots of people that are just carrying things from one place to another with, as I say, donkeys. A lot of people now are using cycles. I don't know how long they've had other things like cars. I think a lot of the people would be too poor to have cars. And I must say that on one occasion when we were going on a mini-trek holiday, you're not necessarily flown to the nearest airport, because in a few minutes I'll tell you about being transported. We were going to Libya, but we were flown to Algeria, which we weren't expecting, but it meant that we saw part of Algeria and Tunisia as well as Libya. Just going back to the travelling from the airport, we'd see lots of things going on at the sides. I mean, the marketplaces are completely different. The shops are different. They're not used to getting rain most days like we might here. So things are just hung out and all displayed above where people are sitting in the shop. So you see dresses and big shawls and all sorts of things just hanging up there. We did manage to get into the odd mosque to have a look at that. You've got to prepare yourself and take your shoes off and wash and what have you. But fantastic mosaic work inside, beautifully done. They haven't to depict anything that's from nature, so it's all sort of geometrical designs, but very well done. So at the side of the road, you might see a donkey having a meal because he's transported what he needed to transport and he's now just sitting at the side. And things in the towns were displayed right across the street. So, for instance, a lot of the things that were dyed were just hung out on ropes across the street, and it became quite colourful in places. And in Marrakesh itself, it was fantastic, the mixture of things that you saw for sale. In Tonmudden, you don't get second-hand dentures, but in Morocco you could, and they were sort of set out on the floor on a piece of rug or something. There were storytellers, and they were very dramatic. And there were musicians, and everybody wanted your attention. And there were lots of people who wanted to guide you around everywhere and direct you, I suppose, to certain places that they had a connection with. Again, looking at some of the pictures that I've got, the boys up to, they look to be about 13, often had European-type dress on. But then as they got older, it would be the long flowing gowns that you tend to see in Muslim countries. But as I say, we're very lucky in everybody being so friendly. We weren't sure when we went into Libya on that second journey how friendly people would be there. But again, we're ever so lucky because people were. You know, they just want to have a chat to you and make you welcome. And that was when Colonel Gaddafi was there. So, I mean, it's a long time ago and, you know, we had a really good time. As I say, before we went into Libya, we had to go through a border. And apparently we weren't allowed to go into Libya until we'd been seen and passed by a doctor. So we spent one night in a dormitory, which was a change from camping, that's for sure. We did have a bed, and we had to wait for him to come and say that we were fit to travel into the country, and so we were let in. And in Libya, of course, it's well known for its fantastic Roman temples, and the structures were fantastic. Well, not only just temples, remains of lots of cities as well, but you know, some of the temples had some work to restore them and were very interesting. So in the temples themselves, fantastic pillars everywhere. We seemed to, you know, there were lots of places where you'd see two-story lots of pillars, if not three stories high. And I suppose there can't be many of those left from Roman times in the world, but, you know, it was quite dramatic. And also the amphitheatres where people all used to sit round and watch things going on in the half centre. And this was in one of the Roman places. It was the first time that I'd seen a toilet that sat, at least half a dozen, if not more, people. And they could all go to the toilet at the same time. And I didn't look in any great detail, but it must have just dropped down to somewhere, and I don't know whether that ever got moved or not. So I could imagine it could be quite smelly in those times. As I say, all the possessions that we had to be transported on the top of this Land Rover, so you can tell that we didn't have very much with us. So it was great when we could actually get to a place where we could have a wash and feel a bit cooler. When we got into an oasis in the Sahara, it was 120 in the shade, at going up to 6 at night. So you can tell how hot things were. So you might be at some points sharing a pool with somebody getting drinking water at one end and a cow having a drink in the other part. But, you know, things are as they are and you take things as they come. So I've had some very interesting experiences in North Africa, and I must admit we were made extremely welcome there. So until next time, when I give you another talk on another place, if I'm asked to, bye for now.